God made the world in 7 days. Well, that's 1 week to be specific. Now that's what I call scientific. Say hallelujah, sing his praise. 4042 B.C. On Monday, August 27, he made the earth and sky and heaven. Then he punched out at 503. Then he made Adam and then Eve. Garden for them to inhabit. The apple right where Eve could grab it. And I got proof, cause I believe creation science 101. In the beginning it begun. And you are just beginning to educate yourself when you shun evolution.
And welcome to the Inner Side, the Other Side. Sitting in for Glenn Urbach tonight is the Houston Atheist Community. The largest organized atheist community in the world? Really?
In the world.
I thought it was the United States. Wow. Man. Well, we got the biggest something, you know. It's Texas. We got the biggest something. In the studio with us right now is Sergio and Evan and Nadia and Ariel. So how you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Doing fine.
Very good. Excited
to be here.
So, Sergio, you want to start out? Tell us about the big convention. This is a big deal. I've gone to these before, and they are awesome. AAI, right?
AAI is, I guess, the main sponsor, doing this with the Texas Freethought Convention. And we've got quite a few of the, you know, the atheist A-listers, for lack of a better term. But we've got Richard Dawkins going to be here, Eugenie Scott, P.Z. Myers, Matt Dillahunty, Graydon Square, Victor Stinger, and so on and so on. You can find all the information at TexasFreethoughtConvention.com. That's the short and skinny of it. This will be October 7th through 9th, and it'll be in downtown Houston.
Thank you, Sergio. I'm sure somebody's going to have an opinion on our little governor party coming up on this August with the big anti-gay Christian crowd, folks. Any comments? I don't want to have to call on you now.
Yeah, I have more than a comment. I have a show and tell.
Oh, go for it.
This is Ariel.
Hi, Ariel.
This is my, not my headset, this is my noise-resistant earmuffs. Oh. I'm going to wear them at the convention, wherever we meet, with a T-shirt that says, "You have the right to pray, I have the right not to hear you."
Can't hear them from my house.
I think that the big concern that I have is that we come off as really positive. I mean, I think that because we are out there, and I think that we need to be careful that when we're out there and we are demonstrating, that it doesn't come off as a protest against prayer. Because from my own take on it, I think the PR aspect of it, the PR component of it, could say something like, "Look, these atheists aren't out here to protest, Rick Perry's involvement in it," which I find the single most salient issue behind this. That what moves me to be there is the fact that it's organized by our governor, and that he's calling other governors, right? And that on top of both him calling and him organizing, he's signing these letters on the website as the governor of Texas.
Yeah.
So he's representing me as he's organizing this prayer event.
And I should point out that the atheist community will just be one small part of the many groups that are going to be protesting there. Of course, women's rights is always an issue with these folks, and gay rights. The people that they have chosen to speak at this event are virulently anti-gay and kind of crazy, and, you know, these real fundamentalist nuts. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
And like the others, I have no problem with people praying. That's fine with me. But when it's government sponsored, when it's our governor sponsoring it, I have a real problem with that.
And I'll just add that I agree with that as well. I have no problem with people praying, no problem with people having their beliefs, their traditions. But once it's state sponsored, that's where it becomes an issue.
The reason that there is atheism, as we're organized, although we're not terribly organized, but barely organized. We know each other anyway. Hey, man, I got everybody's name written down.
There we go.
Yeah.
The first step.
That's right. It's marginally a civil rights issue. Now, the difference between civil rights for people who are different ethnicities is that it's easy to hide the fact that you're an atheist. Sort of like hiding the fact that you're gay. Although that's a little harder. And, of course, you can't hide it at all if you're talking about skin color. But I think, isn't there more Muslims in Congress than atheists? There's only one, right? There's only one admitted atheist in the Senate or the House?
I believe that's true. I think there's only one in the House. I don't think there's any in the Senate.
None in the Senate. Period.
One congressman.
So one.
Most polls say that people will not vote for someone who's an atheist. That's the least likely group.
Apparently so. Mm-hmm. It's America.
I think there's one other important thing that we might not have hit on about this event. This is an exclusively Christian event. It's not an interfaith prayer event, right? So, that warrants saying in and of itself, this isn't like your typical defense. Well, it's for people of all faiths. This is explicitly for Christians to put their hands up to Jesus. I mean, that's actually in the video. Do check out their website, because they have a very dramatic and interesting video. I think it's something like 4 minutes long.
What's the website called?
Oh, geez. Now you're gonna.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's.
Do they have a cool song? Maybe we'll play it.
They do have a kind of cool song. Maybe you should play. You know, it's kind of like this this very dramatic. You know, inner city kids that are on the side of the street and they don't know what to do. They don't have hope. This is actually the statements in the video are kind of bold. You know, you're praying for national solutions, right? So the governor's ordering this. The event is to pray for solutions that plague the country, such as terrorism, right? Now, that's an interesting dynamic there, because we all know when we speak of terrorism how well associated that is already with Islamic fundamentalism. But nonetheless, you are praying for a solution to these types of problems, and you're not praying to any god. They've explicitly picked one for you.
Man.
Great. Well, that's the thing, especially within KPFT and our listening audience. I'm sure there's more anger boiling up over all this. Check this out. You know, if Ron Paul doesn't get the bid for the Republican Party.
Are you a Ron Paul advocate caller? I mean, is Ron Paul your man?
Oh, absolutely, man. I've already bought the shirts for this year. I got the shirts in 2008. I can't believe he believes in the same thing I do. He's such a good person. He delivers babies. He's just such a good humanitarian.
What about his link with the church? Don't get me wrong. In fact, I think in retrospect, I would rather vote for Ron Paul knowing his stance with religion. But as far as the government mucking with religion, I mean, I've got the notion of a rigid separation between church and state has no basis in either the text of the Constitution or the writings of the founding fathers. That's Ron Paul. The founding fathers envisioned a robustly Christian yet rigorously tolerant America with churches serving as vital institutions that would eclipse the state in importance. That's Ron Paul.
That's what scares us.
We're bigger terrorists than anything we're fighting over there. In Mexico, this law we just passed yesterday? Same thing as Arizona. Mexico is the deadliest place in the world. We want to fight terrorism. We need to go there.
But what scares me is that if I grant your point, right, and to get back to it, we kill off government. That's the platform of the Libertarian Party. The government protects you, and that's it. Small centralized government. And we replace it with a man who's for strong centralized religion.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I'm going to look that up. I mean, that's a pretty... that's something I never heard of. But even in religion, I don't think that influences anything or changes anything. Ultimately, what someone
does... That's the crux of your argument, isn't it? Isn't it that religion empowers government?
Well, yes. And I never knew those views on Ron Paul. Mine were always different things. Now that we're getting to the heat of these things, I'm glad you're giving me this information. I'm going to go and research it and look it up. I never knew that was his ideal on things. But
keep in mind that I'm still pretty close to your side. You know, I mean, I don't want to distance you too far. I mean, I think the guy's way off base on religion, way off base on pro-life, pro-choice issues. I think that if I put him in power, he would accomplish more of my agenda than Obama, right? Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of good to be said about Ron Paul.
But who would you do? I mean, y'all are all atheists. I'm, in the same sense, I'm Gnostic, not as agnostic. I'm Gnostic, almost the same thing.
Okay. Agnostic are totally different.
Gnostic
and I'm not agnostic, I'm Gnostic.
No, you don't. What does Gnostic mean, caller?
Gnostic is knowism.
So what
is knowing?
What do you claim to know?
Yeah.
Well, I try to know as many things as I can through astrophysics, through science, through...
That's not what Gnostic is. You want to break it down, Sergio?
Well, yeah, I mean, with Gnosticism, usually in the religious term, that means you claim to know. So
you can know.
Or you can know.
So, right, so you have two different... Gnosticism and agnosticism are statements about what you can know. If you're a Gnostic, you state you can know. If you're an agnostic, you state that you cannot know with regards to whether or not God exists.
But one has a spiritual inclination, religious inclination... And embrace a god, but not agnosticism doesn't embrace any of that.
No, you're thinking of theism and atheism, right? So theism states you believe in a divinity, right? If I ask you the question, do you believe in a god, and you answer yes, you're a theist. If you answer anything but yes, you are an atheist. They're statements of belief. Agnosticism and Gnosticism are statements of knowledge. So you're not telling me anything about what you believe, you're just telling me that you can know, right? So it's a two-part answer to two different questions, right?
So are you a theist or an atheist?
I just want to know how I can talk with y'all more, because you're banging my mind and making me think about things and strength.
Are you a theist or an atheist?
I have a direct connection with the God, the ultimate creator,
so
not through Jesus
theist.
Christ,
so
not through anybody.
So you're a Gnostic theist?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you're making me think about this. I'm having to think.
Well, we love that.
That's good, yeah.
That's not a problem.
That's our reason for being here.
It's a whole idea.
No, thank you, absolutely. Like, would y'all have, like, you get together every once in a while, right? Y'all's a little organization?
Right,
often.
We have a very active community. We meet boldly in restaurants all across town.
And also, you will probably find a group that's less in agreement than anybody than atheists. I mean, atheists will argue some on the drop of it. So if you want to come in and just, like, get a good debate going, it's a great place to hang out, you know.
Nice. Have a good night. Keep it up.
And Osiris, you're next.
Yeah, I have a question for these people. They believe they are atheists. And when they say the people, Rick Perry, whatever the coroner is, has no right to pray or do something, do you think you're ignoring other people's right and you're saying that you have to be the way I'm atheism?
I'm perfectly okay with people praying. They can pray 24/7.
Same here.
That's fine. I have plenty of family members who pray all the time.
Yeah.
My own husband goes and prays. That's fine with me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, my problem is when it's government-sponsored. And that's my concern.
And who's up next? Don.
Hello?
Hello, Don. You're on the air with Houston Atheist folks.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I've always had a logical, or I don't know what the correct word is, a philosophical question about atheists. The second law of thermodynamics is everything tends towards disorder, correct? Step back. Step way back. I'm talking about, if you look at even the solar system as a whole, if you had a bag of marbles and you shook it up and you threw it and all the different marbles had letters on them, you threw it on the floor, the odds of those marbles forming a Shakespearean sonnet are minuscule. Basically, what you see around you is a Shakespearean sonnet.
No,
that's
now
not a good analogy.
Well, you might not like the world as it is. You might not like the force that created it. But there must be some kind of, just from the second law of thermodynamics,
there's two different arguments here. The first argument you're making, right, which is dead on, and it is a law of physics, is the law of thermodynamics.
Right.
The problem is you're calling it too quick, right? So stick around for 20 billion years, and you'll have more grounds to say we no longer have suns, and we no longer have the energy required to keep things ordered. Right, because then things will, in fact, drift towards entropy. You'll have these problems. You know, the cold heat death, right, of the universe is something that a lot of scientists do, in fact, believe that will come to pass. That's the concern here, right? That time isn't now. We still have suns. On the other case, you're arguing this idea of I believe you said a Mozart sonnet. And this is a different argument, because now you're arguing about biological design. That's the pretty design. That's the design that makes sense. But with biological design, or this grand illusion of biological design, what you're seeing is evolution. And evolution isn't like throwing marbles on a table.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm not even talking about biological evolution. I'm saying, let's say man wasn't even here. I'm saying the Earth is about 93 million miles away from the sun. If the Earth were even 1 million miles closer, which is what? Which is a little over 1%, or 1 million miles away, we would either burn up or freeze to death.
I don't buy that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
That is not true, because the Earth has an elliptical orbit, and we do have variation in our distance from the sun. So.
But it's not, it does, well, I don't know if it's exactly 1 million, but it's a very small percentage.
Well, that's a big difference.
Goldilocks.
What are the chances that all of this could be just right? Douglas Adams has an analogy that that there's a puddle, and that water in that puddle is sitting there and going, damn, what are the odds that this thing around me is the perfect shape for me to be sitting in? And what are the odds that you were born with, like, a million sperm competing with you? What are those odds that you're even here? So everything is impossible.
And same with your parents.
If you use statistics. Yeah.
I think that it's important when we have these discussions about creation and the appearance of design, that we always isolate whether or not we're talking about the organic design, the illusion of organic design, or this inorganic design. Because you could easily make a really good argument that the inorganic matter bears every possible sign of non-design. Just look at the vast majority of these planets we find, and the vast majority of solar systems we find, and how many of them are not capable of sustaining life in any way, shape, or form based on what we know of life. You know, it's hard to make that argument from inorganic design.
And also, I'd like to point out that most believers whatever they believe in are just as atheist as we are on unicorns and all the other gods except that one.
Correct.
And they're just as atheist as we are. We're just minus that one. So we're just the same as everybody else.
Marcus.
Are we ready for Marcus? Marcus, you're on the air with Houston Atheists.
Scooter.
Yeah.
I'm very upset. I love unicorns.
Pink invisible ones or just the regular ones?
Yeah, man, you guys are way too serious.
Hey, Marcus. Okay. Marcus.
Yeah.
Marcus, you know, I was going to tell that last caller that if he took those marbles instead of dropping them on the table and threw them at a bunch of monkeys with typewriters, that you can get to Shakespeare and Sonnet
a lot
faster.
That's what I'm talking about, brother.
That's
what I'm talking about. First of all, you know, I hear a lot of terms thrown out like agnostic and atheist. If you could explain to me.
So again, as we mentioned earlier, if someone asks you if you believe in God and your answer is anything but yes, you're technically an atheist.
I just want to be safe because I don't want to burn in hell. Okay.
But what if you pick the wrong God?
Second question. If you are agnostic, do you still believe in, like, other life forms? Do you believe in aliens?
It depends on the person.
There's a skeptical community, and then there's the atheist community. Now, there's a lot of crossover, but that does not mean that all atheists are skeptics. Like, there's plenty of atheists out there that believe in ghosts and...
And unicorns.
Types, yeah, right. Yeah, all kinds of... And aliens are atheists.
That was my third question about, like, believing in ghosts, because, you know, is that kind of more of a religious, or that just more spiritual, because people kind of want to get that confused. So, okay, no, that's just spiritual. You can believe in ghosts, because if you believe in energy, that the energy goes somewhere. It doesn't ever go away, and it has to go.
This is how I would answer that, right? I would answer that on the basis of faith, right? If you're taking a concept on faith, right, which is essentially taking that concept without evidence. That's what faith means, believing without evidence. If you're believing without evidence and you've erected a system around that belief, you have got something that's very close to a religion. I think it's harder to do that with a ghost, you know? I think with a ghost, most people claim to have material evidence, it just fails, right? So it doesn't exist for other people. Yeah. And to that extent, I think it's not a religion, but I think it is a faith-based claim for a lot of the people that say that they believe in ghosts or they believe in aliens.
And if I could just add on, saying, you know, once you die, your energy has to go somewhere. Well, if you're put in the ground, I mean, you know, you become food for microorganisms and worms eventually. But to say that your energy has to go somewhere, therefore your consciousness has to go somewhere, is absurd, because there's just absolutely no evidence for that.
Yeah, it pisses me off. Don't say that. Man, I want to be on cloud 9, 7, and
you want to go somewhere better, I presume.
I'm really trying to catch the next moon because I want to go to another planet.
Marcus, I think that you're touching on one of the basic instincts that human beings have, which is self-preservation.
Right.
Which is very instinctual in higher mammals, all the way down to cockroaches. But when you evolved this huge, monkey brain with a language and all the symbolic thinking, that instinct for survival and self-preservation manifests itself in all sorts of ideas why you're not really going to die. You get to live forever. And human beings are, I think, unusual in that way, because they have this thing called an imagination. And when that self-preservation instinct takes over that imagination, yeah, we all get to live forever, hence religion.
But see, I want to be conscious, though. I'm just hating life, because if I can't be conscious, man, then I'm going to be pissed.
Well, that's part
maybe
of...
Maybe not.
It's great, though, because every religion that incorporates eternal salvation, none of them drop consciousness that I know of. It's always
that's
some type of, like,
about.
Higher
I'm
consciousness.
I'm going to start a new religion
they
about
to.
Consciousness, and it's going to be based on marijuana, and we're okay. Scooter, you're so funny. I love that when you do it with the little girl. Is that your daughter when you do those commercials? Is she talking?
Yeah, she's 17 now, and that was when she was 3 and 4 years
Man,
old.
Man, that was so funny. Okay, this is cool, and I really think you guys need to do this more often. And I will call, and I do donate, and I do volunteer, so people can have these conversations, because I think when they hear atheists, they go straight negative and they get upset and like, oh, you're this and you're that, and they don't ask questions. They don't try to find out about what's going on or what the person knows and stuff like that. So I appreciate you giving me a lot of time. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for your question.
Thank you, Marcus.
Great call, Marcus.
And we're back in the studio. We have Sophie and Mark and Rich and David. And they're from the Houston Atheist Community. How you doing, guys?
We doing well.
Good.
Mike's hot. You want to bring up any issues or before we go into college?
Sergio wanted me to mention, before we got rolling again, the Texas Free Thought Convention that is going to be in downtown Houston, October 7th through the 9th. There's quite a list of speakers that are going to be there, including Richard Dawkins, Eugenie Scott, P.C. Myers, Michael Shermer, Victor Stenger, and Matt Dillahunty, who is noteworthy because he runs the atheist group in Austin. And so, anyway, want to encourage people to come out and see what that's all about.
Caller. We have a caller. We're on the line with Johnny.
Hey, hey, go. How you doing, Scooter?
I'm good.
Hey, man, I listen to you guys there every week. Okay, you know religion has killed more people than anybody else in the whole entire world. This is my question. Has any atheist groups ever done anything like, you remember that religious wacko that got all those people to go down to South America and drink that poison? Has there ever been an atheist group that has ever done anything crazy like that?
None that are still around, I don't think.
Because I just never heard of any atheist people killing anybody.
If an atheist kills another person, it's not because of the name of atheist.
Yeah.
You know, they kill people because they're bad, just like some Christians are good or bad and some atheists are good or bad. But someone will not kill people in the name of atheism.
Yeah. That was my question, because I just never
not
heard
that
of
I'm aware of. Atheists don't believe in anything, so why would they kill people in the name of nothing?
Yeah,
it doesn't
I know.
Make any sense.
I know. So really, having a little bit of atheist in you, it might keep you normal.
It'll do everybody a lot of good.
Yeah. Okay. 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 Good night, Scooter.
If you don't believe in an afterlife, it's gonna be really hard for somebody to talk you into killing yourself. Because that's the crux of that. But yeah, I think that people who are atheists have done their fair share of slaughter. But as we said, it wasn't because they didn't believe in anything.
They weren't doing it to promote atheism. They're doing it for other reasons. That's a popular argument that gets trotted out. People like to trot out the notion that Hitler was an atheist, which arguably he wasn't.
No,
Stalin.
He's Catholic.
Who else is there?
Stalin was raised in a
Pol Pot
seminary.
Has been mentioned many times, but again, it wasn't for atheism.
And Mao.
Right.
Yeah.
Mao. So does anybody want to talk about how the sort of religious belief crosses over with ideologies and nationalism and other things that can make you stupid?
Okay, I'll have a go at it. It truly frightens me when people begin to mix religion with governing a country. And the reason it frightens me is if you believe that Jesus is coming soon and that we're going to be saved, you're not going to be putting any effort into governing a country properly, because you're depending on some great mystical force to fix it up for you. Whenever you're depending on somebody that is a god to fix up your life, to forgive you for your sins, to make sure that the good people are good and that the bad people are punished, you're not taking responsibility for yourself. That's the one issue I have. The other issue is that when a religion begins to mix with a government, freedom of religion begins to go away, because religions are different. People believe different things in different religions. So if one religion dominates and rules, it means other religions begin to suffer. And I don't believe that the United States of America was built on anything but freedom of religion. So I don't believe that religion belongs in the state, in government.
People do behave stupid about, especially Americans. It seems like Americanism and nationalism and this we're special and we're all about freedom and liberty and spreading it around. Man, that's the dumbest. I mean, that's as dumb as anything you hear coming out of a lot of some of the fundamentalist religions. So that was my point. And I'm not trying to make a political left or right point. I just mean, in general, that these belief systems that make people irrational are a lot like religions. And I wonder if that's a basic human thing, or if religion trains people to be stupid and just believe.
Well, I think a big part of it is
especially like with religion, it's you're giving up your will to somebody else's will and doing whatever they want and not what you want and not what's, you know, in your best interest, but doing whatever God tells you to do, no matter how crazy it is or insane it is, and you just do it because that's what he wants.
And a nationality, it goes the same way with as far as if the emperor or whoever is in charge, yeah, dictator, wants you to do what he does. He doesn't want you to know that there's another country you could go to. So nationality and organized religion have a lot in common in that respect, that they don't want you to learn about other places the middle class mass can go.
I think one of the other things is there's this old saying that is live and let live. And what it means is we're allowed to live our lives and we have to give other people the space to live their lives. And when it comes down to religion, to nationalism, to any movement that says there is only one way of living and this is it, it doesn't give other people space. And when we talk about freedom, we're really talking about the freedom to be who we are, to say the things that need to be said for us, and to live in a relatively free way. So there's a conflict. You actually cannot have, you cannot be religious, and you cannot be, have any strong form of nationalism if you don't, because those things inflict your values on somebody else, and that is in direct contravention to any form of freedom. It will affect somebody else's freedom.
Absolutely.
Our transmitter in Houston is not on. It just went off at 10 after 10.
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay, and
I thought that was retribution from above.
I know, this is great. No, no,
it's
well,
exactly
wait till you hear this.
Yeah.
And the religious station next door is now bleeding onto this channel. So if you're listening, yes, you get, what is it?
Must be a sign.
WBLO or something. What do they call it? WKB. It has BJ in it, which I always laugh at.
I never used to talk about atheism. Never. And I just had no reason to. I'm not interested in talking about God or no God. I've got too much of a life. I think I got witnessed to so many times. Everybody always wants to try and talk me into God, talk me into this. They want me to hear their testimony. And I think there just came a point when I now talk about atheism because I'm tired of hearing about the other side. And I sort of feel that somebody has to say to all these people who are witnessing that they believe in Christ and I should believe in Christ too, that actually I have as much right to believe what I want as they have to believe what they want.
How do you compare the United States as far as religiosity to the other places that you've lived?
I had culture shock when I arrived in the United States. I truly, first of all, have never encountered so many people who are talking about God so much. I must tell you here that I spent a great deal of my life in South Africa. I spent on two occasions, I lived for long periods of time in the UK. I've lived a little bit in Germany and Spain. I also spent time in Lesotho. I've been around. This is the first country I've lived in where there is a national agenda for God. And I find it frightening. I really do find it frightening.
This program was edited down from a special two-hour call-in program with the Houston Atheist Community, broadcast June 16th on Pacifica Radio in Houston. The entire program is posted on my website. If you'd like to listen to it, simply Google Inner Side. My name is Scooter, and I'll see you all next week.